You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Only, what, 32 hours into this legal tampering period in the NFL, and the market for Justin Fields feels like it is already dwindling. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Aaron Goldhammer in the saddle filling in for Ian tonight. Courtney Cronin, though, she's kind enough to join us, the hardest working woman here at ESPN, and also, of course, ESPN Bears reporter. Courtney, thanks so much for your time. Are you as sick as I am about talking about Justin Fields? Because I'm sick of it, and I do it probably one millionth as much as you do it. So I can only imagine how you feel.
What I'm sick of, guys, is the portion of the Bears fan base who still sees Justin Fields on the roster, who thinks we've all been lying about the speculation that the Bears are trying to move him. No, they're not actively calling teams saying, please take him. But there is work being done behind the scenes. There are limitations on what the Bears will and will not take. And the fact is, they're going to draft Caleb Williams in a month. They are not, under any circumstances, going to have Fields and Williams on the roster. If they can avoid it at all costs, maybe it happens for a couple of months. But this is a team that has said they want to do right by Justin Fields. And not doing right by Justin Fields is keeping the controversy of new guy coming in, incumbent quarterback fighting for his job going. So that's what I'm sick of, because that's constantly what my mentions are flooded with, that conversation every single day.
Courtney, what's it going to take for the Bears to pull the trigger?
All right, so the asking price that was floated out there, I've talked with about 10 different league sources since the start of the week to see if the Bears had changed anything. It's a second-round pick. Very clearly, with the way that the quarterback cycle has gone throughout free agency and all the landing spots starting to dry up, so is the market right now for Justin Fields. So if they're looking to move him right now, it's not going to be for a second-round pick, because they have to figure other teams are telling you what they think through their inactions, that they don't believe that Justin Fields is a starting quarterback, at least for places like Atlanta or for the Steelers, and they don't think that he's better than the bridge quarterbacks that signed, whether it's Sam Darnold for the one-year deal, Gardner Minshew in his two-year, $25 million deal to the Raiders, or even Jacoby Brissett. So it all depends on timing. Ryan Poles, the general manager, has said he's not in any rush to do this. Ideally, it would have been done by free agency, but it hasn't. So now we're in the wait-and-see game. Their two options here are find a place for Justin Fields sooner rather than later. If that means taking a day-three pick, so be it. You couldn't control the market to begin with. Maybe you overplayed your hand. Or we know that this is a 100% injury rate of a league, and maybe they do want to hold on to Justin Fields towards, you know, throughout minicamp or throughout OTAs and getting into training camp, and then inevitably when someone goes down, they have an asset that's going to drive up the price versus where the price on Justin is at the moment.
Courtney Cronin joining us. So you mentioned that the talks are being had behind the scenes, even if fans aren't aware, of course, of them being had. But as fans are seeing, you mentioned the Falcons and the Steelers and the Raiders and the Vikings and all those landing spots, potential landing spots drying up. Are we supposed to have the sense, Courtney, that it's more about the asking price or more about a lack of interest or belief in Justin Fields in terms of his ability?
It's the ability of Justin Fields and what the asking price is believed to be. And I'm not saying that they are actively shopping him. Like, they're listening. If you want to call in on Justin Fields, Ryan Poles has talked about this for a while. He wants to listen. Like, it takes two to make a dance. You got to find your partner out of it. And they just haven't been able to find the most reasonable partner for what they believe Justin Fields is worth. And I do think that the league is telling us something, that the lack of interest. So it came down to Friday I was on SportsCenter, and I remember they were asking me, well, what does this look like? Could it happen over the weekend? Could it happen as quickly as in a couple of hours? And the answer was, you have to wait to see where Russ is going to go, and you have to wait to see where Cousins goes. Those two come off the board Sunday and Monday, and it's not like any of the other places opening up were then clamoring to get Justin Fields there as a bridge quarterback, as a potential starter who could, like a Giants situation. You know, we saw Drew Lock sign there as a backup today. He's going to get a lot of reps in the offseason because Daniel Jones is still coming back off that ACL. So I think it's a combination of the asking price and what has been floated out there, which is why they have the combine, which is why they leak things, which is why reports go out that show you the belief that the Bears had in Justin Fields and what they believed him to be worth differs from how the league and 31 other teams view him.
Courtney, when do you think the Bears decided that Justin Fields was no longer their quarterback of the future?
When they had the number one overall pick. And that didn't happen until, when did they clinch it? Like right around, I think it was the day before Christmas or maybe the week before New Year's. It's not an opportunity you have all that often, and especially the way that they got that number one pick. It wasn't because of their own record. It was because Carolina stunk and gave them the number one pick with a 2-15 record that they had. And if you're looking at it realistically, it's more about a conversation of Caleb Williams than it would be about Justin Fields. Justin has shown improvement. Is it massive improvement, sweeping changes to lead you to believe, hands down, without a question, he's their guy? No, because they would have said that, guys. Like, they left the door open at the combine when we floated the idea of, if you want to trade Justin Fields, when does it happen? And Ryan Poles said that buy free agency would be the goal. Like, if they felt that Justin Fields was unquestionably their answer, they would have shut that door immediately by saying, we're not planning to trade him. We're moving forward with him. But they haven't. And it's, again, if they only had the number 9 overall pick, this would not be a question. They would be going forward with Justin Fields. They might draft a quarterback at some point, but they would be giving Fields that fourth year, picking up the fifth year option to prove himself. Now, I don't know if you can really do that when you have the number one pick in back-to-back years. You just passed up on the offensive rookie of the year in C.J. Stroud. Can you really imagine doing that again? Because that's an opportunity cost that I think is far too great for them to push aside for someone who they've seen glimmers of hope with, but not yet a full complete project, or still rather a project in the NFL versus a polished product. And that's too much to hedge your careers on if you're the people inside the Bears organization.
Courtney Cronin joining us, Goldhammer filling in for Ian tonight. You said that Caleb Williams is going to be the pick there. Is there any chance here that the Bears trade back? Like, they like one of the, you know, they like one of these other draft picks and they trade back a couple spots to get somebody else at that same quarterback position and acquire even more draft stock in return?
So they've never ruled out the idea of trading back. I mean, and of course they're never going to tell you their draft plans, but I am firmly of the belief that they will take a rookie quarterback. And as they go through this, like, remember, they have to go to Caleb Williams pro day March 20th, so a week from tomorrow, and they have to get the medical. They didn't get that at the combine. I don't know if that would have made their decision easier one way or the other, but until you have every T crossed and I dotted, you're not going to trade away. You don't have the incentive to trade away anybody on your roster, especially if you're trying to replace the most important position on your roster. Now, could that mean as they go through the pro day circuit and the top 30 visits and everything else that they end up falling in love with a quarterback that's not Caleb Williams? Sure, but when you take a look at the skill set, when you take a look at what he brings to the table, this is a quarterback who there's a considerable gap right now between where Caleb Williams is as the consensus number one overall pick, and then Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and then the next gap between J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, and then Michael Penix Jr. So it wouldn't shock me, Amber, if they go back to 2, if they go back to 3, but you can't go any further than that, and that's why I think ultimately when you have Caleb Williams, who seems like the surest thing from this draft class, even though there are concerns about the background, about, you know, the medical, because he hasn't given it to anybody yet, just all of those things, the Bears are going to be cautious with that, but I don't think ultimately that they give up that number one overall pick.
It will be hard to criticize them if they stay at number one and draft Caleb Williams, because everybody seems so convinced and all in there on Caleb Williams. Finally here, Courtney, when do I get, in your best guess, to stop talking about Justin Fields?
I think they keep him through the draft. At this point, okay, there's no real incentive. If nobody's calling, if nobody's willing, like Philadelphia is a team that has been floated to me from a couple sources I've talked with simply because they need a backup for Jalen Hurts. Now, what is the cost of a backup? Is it a fourth-round pick? Is it a fifth? Is it a sixth? We just saw Mac Jones go to Jacksonville for a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
It's pretty cheap if you're just taking a day three pick, sending it to Chicago, and picking up Justin Fields, you know, not picking up the option because you wouldn't do that for a backup, and you're just paying the guy $2.7 million. If the Bears want to wait this out, though, as we get closer to draft day, I think it was Josh Rosen that we saw 2019, he got moved during the draft, a former number one pick, and then the next year the Cardinals take Kyler Murray. That feels more realistic to me, but I could also see this going through OTAs, when the full squad gets together, through mini camp, but I can't see it going beyond that, because you guys damn well know every time, if those two are on the roster, Caleb Williams and Justin Fields, every single practice, it's going to be who's getting the first team reps, who got more reps, who's working with the ones, and it puts more pressure, creates more unnecessary drama that you can nip in the bud by handling this the next few weeks to few months than having these quarterbacks have to answer for each other, more or less, in creating more unnecessary drama around a team that is trying to get out of its own way because it honestly has a pretty good plan for the offseason. Why wreck that by stepping in it yourself when you can handle this now or in the next, you know, coming weeks?
See you in July, Courtney.
Yeah, right. Courtney Cronin, ESPN Bears reporter. You can also hear her Sunday mornings right here on ESPN Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Best Week Ever. Thanks, Courtney.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Amber and Ian's presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money when you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or renters. You'll earn a multi-policy discount. Easy to bundle, easy to save. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, do the Browns actually know what they're doing? It's questionable. We'll get into that next here.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You just have this song playing everywhere you go, Goldhammer?
Well, I actually like the President of the United States of America version of this song much better than this version of this song.
Got
so
it.
I think Rachel's kind of picking the wrong version.
I'm sorry.
But yeah.
We only had one option in the system, Aaron Goldhammer, because
surprise,
we are,
we
in
have
fact,
any
not
options?
In Cleveland. Shocker. I know.
We have 12 versions of that song in our house.
I have zero doubt that on ESPN Cleveland,
it's
I can only
ringtone.
Imagine.
My ringtone.
Aaron Goldhammer filling in tonight for Ian Fitzsimmons here on Amber and Ian. Let's get you updated on all the college basketball championship action right now. The Barbasol Horizon League Championship between Milwaukee and Oakland is a close one. Oof. Oakland's leading it 51-50 in the second right now. The CAA championship between Stony Brook and Charleston, also a close one. You're going to see a theme here. Stony Brook up 42-39 right now, just over 17 left in the second. The Northeastern Conference Championship between Wagner and Merrimack is also in the second, about 9 minutes left, also a one-point game. Wagner up 41-40. Potential for buzzer beaters tonight, Aaron Goldhammer. You can see some of these games right now, the live action, the Barbasol and the Northeastern Conference Championship. Those right now are on ESPN and ESPN2, respectively. So we'll keep you updated.
And remember, we mentioned those three scores. It may seem random why we're going to those three games, but those three games have automatic bids to the NCAA tournament on Selection Sunday on the line. In conferences, Amber, where the tournament champion is the only team that's going to be able to make the tournament out of the Horizon and out of the Northeast Conference and these conferences that clearly are just one bid leagues.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's win or go home, quite literally, tonight for these teams. The winner will be in the madness here for March. Let's head to Cleveland, which is where Aaron Goldhammer resides. It's where Aaron Goldhammer has built his whole life. Aaron Goldhammer is Cleveland. He connotes Cleveland at this point, which is weird because he's from Denver, right? But nevertheless, you've adopted weird. Cleveland. It's a little weird, but you've adopted
I don't think anybody here wants me to connote Cleveland, but I think whether they like it or not, that's just how it goes.
That is just how it goes. And we had big news for the Cleveland Browns today. Jameis Winston has agreed to a one-year contract to be the backup quarterback to Deshaun Watson. It is very obviously a move to make Jameis a backup, right? What? I mean, he's not going to be the start, but...
No.
But we saw Flacco a lot. Three other quarterbacks last season.
Amber, this was a big surprise to me, okay? I thought the Browns, if they didn't have Joe Flacco go somewhere else to be a starting quarterback, like you thought New England, Minnesota, they end up getting Brissett and Darnold. Like, Flacco played well at the end of the year. Sam Darnold has played well when, Amber? Never. Like, what's the game where Jacoby Brissett has gone and played really? I don't know that he's ever played well in his career. He's the same. He wins one of every three games that he plays. It's just the story of his career. So I don't know what's going on with Joe Flacco. I think the Browns, I guess, were intimidated by the prospect of Flacco behind Watson. That because of his success, because Cleveland got Flacco fever, that if Deshaun came out and played poorly, that they would be mobbed by angry Browns fans wanting to play Joe Flacco. But I guess, Amber, the way that I look at this, and I'm curious what you think, like, I think in this league you have to try to always put the best players on your team. And if Deshaun Watson's going to fail, I'd much rather have Joe Flacco, who went 4-1 in the regular season for the Browns last year, than Jameis Winston sitting over on the bench. Now, Jameis Winston is a great soundbite, but he's kind of a joke, isn't he? Like, isn't Jameis Winston more a punchline than he is a bona fide quarterback? Yeah, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. Yeah, he was the number one overall pick. But don't most football fans now know him more for being a goof and eating a W and running the ball with Jamal Williams into the end zone when his coach told him not to? Like, these are the things that Jameis is known for now, not actually going out and playing well and throwing a lot of interceptions. 30 for 30, right?
I agree with all that. Yeah. But the 30 for 30 also meant that he threw for 30 touchdowns, right? And we are talking about a quarterback that once upon a time, he threw for over 5,000 passing yards in NFL history. He became the eighth player to do that, right? And he amassed 450 yards in consecutive games. He had, in Tampa, very, very good moments as well as the bad moments. And yes, we remember the 30 interceptions. Maybe we don't talk as much about the 626 pass attempts and the 5,109 passing yards, right? So with Jameis, you get the full Jameis experience.
He was throwing the ball to everybody, Amber. He was throwing
absolutely.
The ball to his team. He was throwing the ball to the officials. He was throwing the ball to the other team.
But he was throwing it. He was out there slinging that thing.
It was entertaining if you weren't a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you were a fan of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it was a giant heart attack. I'm sorry. If the Browns go into a game this year with Jameis Winston as their starter, I'm already assuming three interceptions. I'm just putting it in pen. Okay. And
well,
so
they're not supposed to go into a game with Jameis Winston as their starter, right? I mean, they're supposed to have Deshaun Watson as their starter. And so I guess what this move does is makes it very clear that Deshaun is, in fact, our starter.
Oh, of
and
course.
We're not really bringing in real competition here. Now, could he end up motivating Deshaun with his pregame speeches? Sure. Maybe there's a little of that going on from Jameis Winston. There's some positive effects from Jameis Winston inside a locker room, but nobody is relying on Jameis Winston to be the guy out there winning games. And what ended up happening with the Browns last season with the rotating quarterbacks and then landing on Flacco and then making a postseason in a season that you shouldn't have because it was such a mess at that quarterback position. It ends up winning you coach of the year because of it. So I think they just want some continuity, but also to put their stamp on the fact Deshaun Watson's the guy. And we believe in Deshaun Watson. We've got to believe in Deshaun Watson because we paid him the wants our money and this thing better work
Deshaun
out.
Hold on, Amber. Deshaun Watson was going to be the guy anyway, right?
But the problem, if you had Flacco, the fans would have all been calling. You said they'd be calling for Flacco the second Deshaun Watson didn't play. Well, no. I think they'd be calling for Flacco minute one of game one of the 2024 season. And I think that that's why they didn't go with Joe Flacco. Now, I'm not saying that's a good decision by the Browns, but I feel like that was why they made that decision.
If Deshaun Watson can't handle the pressure of a 40-year-old Joe Flacco sitting over there on the bench, he's not going to be the $60 million a year quarterback that the Browns want him to be anyway.
I don't know if you've heard.
I think this is awfully chicken.
40 is not what it used to be. You know, 40 is the new 30.
Well, it's Joe Flacco post-Jets, post-Broncos. And remember, he did throw two pick sixes in a playoff game. It's the Browns acting like he's, you know, the second coming of Bernie Kosar in terms of winning a Cleveland popularity contest. Like, I don't know. Deshaun ought to be able to come out and play well and make whoever the backup quarterback is a moot point. Amber, the reason why this is an issue is that Deshaun has not been able to stay on the field. Whatever the reason. The suspension, 11 games. The injuries, 11 games. If he misses more time this year, whether it was Flacco or Winston, the Browns were probably in a tough spot. But I would just feel better about Flacco in that role than I would about E-to-W Jameis Winston.
You do have a backup who has a lot of starting experience in the league. So there is that. Now, given a losing record in doing it,
it's
at 34-46.
Bad experience, but he's done it before. He's lost.
It's there, man, the experience.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Free agency frenzy here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. Aaron Goldhammer in tonight for Ian. And of course, we've been talking about this legal tampering period here in the NFL as we head towards the official start of free agency, but it's all free agency this week. And there are teams that have made a lot of moves, some that have made more moves than others, some that have made better moves than others, Goldhammer. So I want to have a little fun here. I want us to go through some winners and losers of free agency. And if you want to chime into the conversation here on ESPN Radio, you're always welcome to do so. 888-SAY-ESPN, is your team a winner so far this week in NFL free agency or a big-time loser? Are you upset? Are you happy? 888-729-3776. Goldhammer, give me a big winner so far in your eyes.
I got the Houston Texans as a big winner. They already are winners because C.J. Stroud is a rookie quarterback who's one of the best quarterbacks in the league on a very cheap contract. I was kind of afraid they were going to dive into the deep end of the pool and go after Saquon Barkley, which I don't think would have been a great move for them. I think investing on defense for them is really smart. And they get Danielle Hunter, who is a bona fide pass rusher, over on the other side from Will Anderson. I think as bookends, those guys are scary. And when you combine them with all the power that the Texans have with their offense and they keep their coordinator Bobby Slowick, I've got the Texans winning that division again and being a real threat to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't know that anybody's better than the Chiefs, but I think they're a legitimate threat amongst Baltimore and the Chiefs in what is going to be a very crowded AFC. Good job so far by Nick Caserio. I've got the Texans as a big winner in free agency.
I agree with that, by the way, that the Texans are also on my winner list easily in free agency, which is scary because the Texans are getting right fast. I mean, it's funny when D'Amico Ryans goes into that job, we say, oh, he signs the 7-year contract because they're giving him time, right? He's got the runway. They're going to be patient with him. They're not just going to fire the coach after a few years on a rebuilding team. They're going to give him the time to develop. And then, man, you hit on CJ and you seem to be hitting on everything else. And it's like, oh, no, we ain't got no time now. Like, we're already here. Let's go ahead and head towards the finish line. So I give them a lot of credit for capitalizing on the moment there. And you're absolutely right to me. Houston continues to get better. I will name the Atlanta Falcons as a winner here because I actually like this move with Kirk Cousins. Now, it's a lot of money for a quarterback who's going to be 36 years old. He's coming off an Achilles. I get that. But it's a quarterback that has been incredibly competent throughout his career. I know the postseason record. People are going to point to 1-3 or whatever it is. But if you're Atlanta, the one thing you were missing was competent quarterback play. I'm not even talking about postseason Super Bowl winning championship quarterback play. I'm just talking a semblance of competent quarterback play. And there is zero doubt in my mind that you're going to get that from Kirk Cousins. But also, I think really, really importantly, because this is a franchise going through a lot of changes with a new head coach at the helm as well, but you've got really young weapons there, really good weapons with the Drake Londons and the Bijan Robinsons. And I'm still a believer in Kyle Pitts, probably largely because I'm a Gator, nevertheless. And if you have a quarterback that is a vet, that has all the experience and has all the regular success that Kirk Cousins has, I do think that you feel confident that this is an investment, not in the quarterback position for the long-term future, but in those weapons to developing them properly for the long-term future. So even though, yes, he's an older quarterback, I actually think in this scenario, with as much change as that franchise has gone through with these young weapons, that this makes a lot of sense from a leadership perspective and in a winnable division where Kirk Cousins can make an immediate impact.
I mean, Amber, if it goes well, it's like Matt Stafford going to the Rams. It's a very similar kind of career trajectory, timeline for him to go. Here's the problem if you're the Falcons. A, he's coming off a massive, massive injury. And then B, I think the reality is Kirk Cousins has had the opportunity on the biggest stages in the NFL to play really well, and he just hasn't done it. Matt Stafford was banished to Detroit, so he never really got the opportunity to play in big games and on national TV and with playoff spots and with berths in the NFC Championship game on the line. I just don't think Kirk Cousins is a big-game quarterback. I will say, though, Kirk Cousins is a big winner in free agency. Because, Amber, he's the GOAT of something. He's the GOAT of being an NFL businessman. By the time it's all said and done, Kirk Cousins is going to make $500 million playing above average quarterback in the NFL. That's crazy. Not Mahomes level. That's not Brady level. That's not Vice President Aaron Rodgers level. That's above average B quarterback play and $500 million. And for that, I've got Kirk Cousins as a big winner here in free agency. What else you got, Amber?
He's the ultimate winner. He's not the best quarterback of all time. He might be the best businessman of all time. Kirk Cousins, he seems like that unassuming Midwestern guy, and he must be a killer at the negotiation table. So you're right. He is a big winner. Let's talk losers for a minute. Who you got as a loser? I'll throw it back to you for a second.
Well, I might pick different teams than, like, people think the Cowboys are a loser. I actually think they're fine in free agency.
Really?
Because, yeah, because I teams that do a lot of stuff, the Raiders, for example, okay? Gardner Minshew and Christian Wilkins, and they're breaking the bank, spending a lot of money on guys, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, the teams that do that don't have any good players to begin with. That's why they have all that cap room. I think the Raiders are a big loser here in free agency so far. I don't know what the future of their quarterback situation is. They think they're going to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes and Herbert with Gardner Minshew and an addition, a defensive tackle. Like, they've got bigger questions than that to answer in my mind, and they've spent a ton of money in free agency, and I just don't think it's going to actually get them many more wins or on a path towards actually building something. So I got the Raiders as big losers.
And I'm obviously a big fan of Christian Wilkins. That is, of course, the Dolphins fan in me as well. But 4 years, $110 million is a lot of money there for Wilkins. I do think you're underrating his importance on that team. I think he's going to take a lot of that pressure off Max Crosby because now Lions aren't going to be just keying in on Crosby, and we already know what a killer Max Crosby is. So I do think that you've got a serious 1-2 punch there, and I think that they're finding that identity as that defensive team, right? The Gardner Minshew thing, listen, you've got a Band-Aid, right? I mean, a viable Band-Aid for now. Obviously, the quarterback position there with the Raiders is still a question mark. I'm not saying that they're huge winners. I don't think the Las Vegas Raiders are winning a Super Bowl off of these moves. I also don't think they're huge losers with these moves either. I think that they got a little bit better. It's not a huge monster leap forward. We'll see how it works out money-wise. I would put my Miami Dolphins probably in the category as loser. And yesterday, I felt strongly that we were huge losers, in part because you watched Christian Wilkins walk after you hit on that pick, a first-round pick, and then you just go ahead and you let him walk at the expiration of his deal. Andrew Van Ginkle, Jerome Baker, Robert Hunt. I mean, I didn't want to pay Robert Hunt money like the Panthers did, 5 years, $100 million. I didn't want to pay Christian Wilkins the kind of money that the Raiders ended up paying him. I get it from that perspective in a salary cap sport, but it doesn't make it any easier to handle or to swallow for a team that the ceiling, it can't be we just make a postseason and then we continuously get bounced in the wild card. Like, that's not where I saw this Dolphins team going. And coming off the bloodbath that was yesterday, they've righted the ship a little bit today, but the bloodbath that was yesterday, it felt to me like a Dolphins fan that we weren't certainly taking a step forward. We were just clearing space to re-sign Tua to a longer extension in the midst getting worse, particularly defensively.
Yeah, that might be where they're headed. I'll give you another big loser here, Amber. I think the Bears, I know you don't want to talk about them anymore and you're sick of them. I think they completely miscalculated the Justin Fields market. I think that's obvious now. I think they were indecisive with him at a time when they might have actually been able to get something good for him and sort of pick a direction as a franchise. And what are they doing going out and signing a small running back in DeAndre Swift to significant dollars? I don't know what that was about. I think they were probably fine at that position as was. And they really need to focus on trying to build and growing their offensive line, where I think they'll go probably with their second first-round pick. It's just, this is a team that makes moves and leaves me scratching my head being like, what direction even are they really going for sure? And I think with the whole specter of the Fields thing hanging behind them, I got the Bears as a big loser so far in free agency.
I don't hate that one. I guess I have a hard time considering Justin Fields as part of this sort of free agency, but you're right. It's the fallout from those other landing spots, whether they ended up getting Band-Aids for their situation, the Sam Darnolds of the world, the Gardner Minshews of the world, or whether they ended up getting starters like the Kirk Cousins of the world that you know that the teams are actually putting some belief in. Either way, you saw the market start drying up all over the place, and it did that quickly. It got dry quickly, the market for Justin Fields. And so, in effect, you're right, the Justin Fields market at this point looks completely different than it did 36 hours ago.
No doubt.
In terms of actual free agency moves with the Bears, I mean, listen, I think DeAndre Swift is a decent back. Like, it is what it is. They have so many needs on that team. Like, the actual moves themselves don't really bother me so much.
Why are they spending money on free agent running backs? Like, that's kind of my point. Like, draft a guy in the fifth round. This is the NFL.
Right. That's true. That's a fair point by you. But I think the criticism really should lie in the way that they've handled the Justin Fields situation because...
Yeah.
Because also... they've been talking out of two sides of their mouth. Like on one, and this is always a difficult situation for a team to be in, but like on one side, you're talking out of your mouth like, hey, this guy is so good, you should give us a second day pick for this guy in return. And on the other side of your mouth, you're, I don't want this guy. You know, I don't want this guy. I'm drafting Caleb Williams or whomever else in this upcoming draft if I end up trading back, but I ain't rocking with this guy anymore. And so other teams around the league are looking at this situation and they're thinking, well, we don't want to move forward with this guy either. You know, we don't see any more promise in him than you guys see in him when you clearly want to move on from him. And so it's ended up costing them in terms of the market for Justin Fields. And maybe, frankly, they always had set the market too high and were asking too much for Justin Fields. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we are going to get to your phone calls. Do you feel like your team is a big winner so far in this free agency period or a loser? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll take your calls next. Big winners and losers so far in free agency. It has been a wild legal tampering period in the NFL. Lots of moves. I'm not sure I remember one quite so active, quite so early. Aaron Goldhammer filling in tonight for Ian Fitzsimmons at Hammer Nation 19 is how you find him. At Amber W Sports is how you find me. So chime into the conversation, America. 888-SAY-ESPN. Is your team a big winner or a big loser so far in free agency? Josh is kind enough to call us from Montana. Josh, thanks for the call. Is your team a winner or a loser?
So I'm actually a Titans fan, but I think the Texans, looking across the division, I think the Texans are the big winners. I watched them sign away Al Shahir and DeNico Autry from Tennessee, and that's going to really bolster their defensive front. I mean, combined with Will Anderson, and then I think they signed a running back, too, to pair with that young core and C.J. Stroud, and can't help but see the Texans making a fierce
And they got Daniel Hunter tonight, which might be the biggest move they make of all. I mean, that's a guy who had 16 and a half sacks this past year, and they're going to bookend Will Anderson with him. I agree. You know, the Texans were already a winner, though, coming into this. They have a good quarterback on a really cheap contract. That immediately, no matter what you do in free agency, is, Amber, going to make you a winner.
It does, but when you have a defensive-minded coach and you can bring in the weapons, Danielle Hunter, I mean, you mentioned it with the 16 and a half sacks. He finished fifth in the NFL in terms of sacks last season. You paid him $48 million to come there, make your defense all that much better. There's a lot of things that the Texans have done here that I think shows that they are committed to capitalizing on this moment with CJ Stroud immediately. And I tend to agree with you and that caller. The Texans are huge winners. 888-SAY-ESPN. Anthony is calling us from the Aaron Goldhammer, Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Anthony. Does Goldhammer connote to you, Cleveland, Anthony?
Oh, man. I mean, where do I start? First off, we got, you know, Grossi. I mean, we got the local deal with the landlord, the man, the Daily Grossi. I mean, he keeps us in check, the local market here, as far as what's going on and in the loop with the Browns daily. But, you know, I feel like we are the big winner because of Judy, the Judy trade. I mean, he's playing alongside his idol with Amari Cooper. And, I mean, he's going to obviously – not just, you know, make him better, but as far as with the route running. But, I mean, you know, we're going to keep a lot of defenses honest as far as, like, the whole route running and how to get better with that, for sure, no doubt. And we got a show here locally with the Next Level. I low-key got to get better with it because I missed the Chris Canty take on the Next Level. I mean, him and Super Bowl champ Gerard Cherry, I mean, I would love to hear that, be in the same room, fly on the wall, listen to that take right there, no doubt. But, yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Browns, we definitely got better as far as on the offensive end, as far as the receiving court, no
Anthony,
doubt.
Anthony, this is my favorite call. Thank you for the call, and it's my favorite call in the history of ESPN Radio. He promoted the subscription service. He got our lineup right completely. Mm-hmm. He plugged the fact that we had Canty on the afternoon show.
You're
I don't know that it mattered to anybody else, but for me, I'm just sitting here, feet back in all my glory right now.
For Mr. ESPN Cleveland over here, he's loving it. He also loved the Jerry Jeudy trade, which we didn't even mention that earlier when we were talking about the Browns. You and I were more critical of the Browns so far in free agency, bringing in Jameis Winston.
We were, and the Jerry Jeudy thing is a fine flyer, okay, for the Browns to take. It's fifth and sixth round picks. But there's a reason why people in Denver say it's one of the biggest draft busts the Broncos have ever had. He runs great routes. The only problem is, apparently, Amber, he doesn't do the one thing a receiver needs to do consistently, which is actually catch the football. So we'll be working on that with Jerry Jeudy as we go through the off-season program here in Cleveland.
As potentially Jameis Winston is throwing him the football if Deshaun Watson can't stay healthy. 888-SAY-ESPN. Dominique is calling us from St. Louis. Dominique, is your team a big winner or a loser?
You know, I think they're a winner. I'm a Chiefs fan, so you talking about not being able to catch balls from Jerry Jeudy, I totally understand that this past season. Rashee Rice, though, really, really picked up there towards the end. But I think Chris Jones signing the five-year extension with that money, that's a huge win for them.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
And tagging
you
me,
and your back-to-back Super Bowls are a big winner. We get it. Amber, they have Mahomes.
Like
of course they're big
off.
Winners in free agency.
Well, and they don't just have Mahomes, Goldhammer, but what I'm guessing Dom was going to get to there was that they also just restructured Mahomes' contract, where they clear over $21 million in cap space once again.
Such
because Patrick
leader.
Mahomes is team guy, and he wants to go ahead and help his team win more rings. And so the rich just got richer. I mean, that Chris Jones contract ain't small for Kansas City. But then with what Mahomes just did, it's like, all right, these guys are just going to keep getting
it. He's good. Who wants to hear a Chief fan just come on the air and gloat? I ran him off the air. I ran him off the air for the rest of America.
Call in,
everybody in America was nodding
the
and smiling.
I tend to agree with you. But ESPN gave me a producer that is one of those Chiefs fans. All right, Alan
Lucky
is calling
you.
Us from Delaware. Alan, thanks for the call. What do you have?
So love the show. Listen to you guys every night. I'm originally from Louisiana, from New Orleans. Been a lifelong Saints fan, 40 years now. And I just feel like, and I get it, the Saints are always in cap trouble.
Yep.
But we've re-signed two aging veterans and released Thomas, which I think needs to be done. But it's like every year since the Breeze and Peyton era is ended, the Saints have just gone back to a dumpster fire of a team.
I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
Right.
I think that they need to reboot. You know, the Derek Carr thing,
didn't work.
You know, and that's the cautionary
tale Thomas,
for Kirk Cousins, right?
This is years too late for the Michael Thomas move. I mean, I've been saying it for years. I remember, you know, 2 years ago, sitting on set arguing with Keyshawn about, now given Michael Thomas is his cousin or whatever, so there's our nephew. But nevertheless, arguing with him about, like, Michael Thomas isn't still it. Like, he ain't going to be the old 2019 Michael Thomas ever again. We got to move on if you're the Saints. And now they've finally done that. So some of this is a little too late, right? But now they're finally, it feels like, going to hit that reset button.
Yeah, and I think that it's important for them. They have a good defense. You know, but nobody knows it because they can't score, and they're in the worst division in football. So there's an opportunity for them to do something there. I just think they need to commit to a rebuild and understand where they're at as a franchise and not try so hard to go 7-10 or 8-9 every year.
Right. Tommy is calling us from Tennessee. Tommy, you got about 30 seconds. What do you got for us?
Okay. Derrick Henry not signing with the Titans. They were a bad team. They're even worse now, and they lost all those defensive players too. So bad times ahead for the Titans, I think.
Yeah, I was waiting for the disgruntled Titans fan to call in, Aaron, frankly, because – you know, I mean, Tennessee, yeah, I would put them on the loser list right now. They kind of are in a reset mode as well.
I mean, they're losers because I don't understand what the heck they did with their head coach, who I really liked, and a lot of people did, and I still don't understand why he doesn't have a job, Mike Vrabel.
Right.
But didn't we know Derrick Henry, though, that his time in Tennessee had run its course? It's a 30-year-old running back, and I understand the emotions that are tied into a player like that, but he had a cool opportunity to say goodbye. You can kill the Titans. I just wouldn't kill them over that move.
Yeah, well, and they had certainly given him the time, but you're right. They weren't going to win a Super Bowl here with Derrick Henry, so why go ahead and pay him at this point at 30 years old? You can continue to keep the calls coming. 888-SAY-ESPN. More of your calls on the other side.